Blog Talk Radio.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up, stand up for your rights. Get up.
Preacher man, oh tell me, heaven is on the ear. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's an all that Peter sold after story had never been told. So now you see the light. Hey, stand up for your eyes. Come on,
get up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Most people think great God will come from the sky, take away everything and make everybody feel high. But if you know what life is worth, you would look for yours on earth. And now you see the light, you stand up for your rights. Yeah.
Get up, stand up.
Yeah, yeah.
Stand up for your rights. Get up.
Hello.
Hello, is Sister Zenzele on?
I don't hear her. I don't know. This
you don't hear me?
I don't know.
We hear you now. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I did a whole intro for about a couple of minutes there. That's all right.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, you can redo that intro because the music just stopped
all
at
right,
7:03.
All right. Welcome, everybody. This is the Black Progressive Prison Rights Movement. Just wanted to come to you from the California sector. The Black Progressive Prison Rights Movement is an organization that believes in being responsible for how we react to racial oppression and systematic oppression. We're here to shut down the school-to-prison pipeline and prison-industrial slave complex. We seek to study and analyze issues that impact and affect our community. Okay, provide solutions with actionable programs to benefit the community. We work with others in the community to help our community. We're not going to operate within the same system that systematically, socially, and economically exploited us, meaning we will work with brothers and sisters in the community to make this movement happen. Our members' religious affiliation is irrelevant as it is divisive to our community. We use the skill sets of our people in the community to provide our brothers and sisters to best utilize our strengths. It doesn't matter whether you're a blue-collar worker, white-collar worker, we're a collective, and we believe everyone has something to offer. Right now, I want to go a little bit about small history. You know, black people have been influential force in the prison rights movement and criminal injustice reform as early as World War II. In 1960, incarceration was termed as the new Jim Crow. At that time, our people were incarcerated for refusing to serve in the armed forces. You know, trumped up drug charges, as well as political prisoners. And then we moved forward into the 70s, where Folsom State Prison instituted a work strike in which inmates refused to leave their cells, and they released a manifesto of demands and anti-oppression platform. This document continues to be used in strikes across the country today. Due to the black prison rights movement during the 70s, it led to the 1983 civil suit against prisons that allows all prisoners to file a civil complaint if their civil rights are violated. But even with their hard work and advancement, you know, there were mistakes of the 60s and 70s that we continue to learn from today. We're looking at the school-to-prison pipeline, as well as taking care of parolees that exit out of prison and finding them the education and knowledge to prepare them to become productive in the community. That school-to-prison pipeline, that little history with that is that the schools were funneled. Schools funneled black children back in the 90s into the criminal justice system, putting police officers in the schools. They had a so-called fear of crime that resulted in a crackdown on school behavior issues. They began to mandate suspension and expulsion for negative behaviors. But the determination of discipline for these behaviors were at the discretion of the governing board. The insertion of these police officers into the schools ended up as a way of outsourcing discipline to the local police department. So we're looking to shut this down. It's taking our young brothers and sisters and putting them into the prison system early. With that said, tonight we're going to discuss a little bit about mental health and some of the programs. I'm getting background, I believe, Brother Muhammad, or I don't know where it's coming from, but getting some background. But right now we're going to discuss a little bit about mental health and some of the programs that we have going within the organization itself. We have some initiatives that we'll be fielding under the Black Progressive Prison Rights Movement, infrastructure, economic initiatives, sustainable agricultural, math and science center initiatives that we're looking at, strategic release, and Pan-African Global Commission Against Hunger. We have the Marcus Garvey Study Group to provide education to our brothers and sisters for accountability and responsibility, programs to address restitution, poverty, drugs, gang violence, illiteracy, lack of unity. Without further ado, I will go into the mental health aspect. Brother Muhammad, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hold on 1 second. I'll be right back.
Okay. So for mental health, we're looking at having programs to have call-in lines for our youth and parolees with PTSD, education for professional and social skills to operate within the current business environment. We have a lot of individuals out there who are suffering from mental health, and unfortunately we have a stigmatism within a community that says we shouldn't be seeking mental health, and either the preacher, pastor, imam, or whoever is going to take care of it. But at this point, we need to start addressing our own issues and be responsible for our own behavior. And it's about time we start looking at mental health and what we can do to get our community from under this grip of systematic oppression that we're currently under. We have some mental health issues related to PTSD, from whether it's being institutionalized to environment within our community, and we'll be addressing all those issues. Brother Muhammad, are you back?
Yeah, and I wanted to speak on the PTSD. There's two forms of the trauma. There's what we call the major trauma, which is when an individual is exposed to a violent, major, you know, violent event. And there's the other one that most of us suffer from is auditory trauma, which is a bunch of small traumas that add up to one big one, to add up to the PTSD, which I myself suffer from because of so many years of the incarceration.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to touch on that. As far as the stigma goes, there's a big stigma, you know, especially as for black males in the community, as far as saying that they have a mental health issue coming out of prison. But it's just a fact. You can't come out of those conditions without suffering some form of mental illness. And I've been working with the sisters at Conscious Voices to work on a plan, to get the Integrated Mental Health and Preventive Health African American Center here in Alameda County. As far as the prison to the school to prison pipeline and reversing that, as we talked earlier when we had our conference call. Right now, I'm working with the public defender's office and the social workers to make it an alternative sentencing, as they did, back in the 70s and 80s when they were offering either prison or the military. We wanted to be offered either the prison or college, and we've making a lot of headway with that. As far as the public defender's office is going, so they're starting to refer clients to us at the college. But the next phase is we want to sit down with the probation department and get that alternative to sentencing, in writing in stone, so that it can be it can be moved forward. But I also had lunch with a brother who has a new group that's dealing with at-risk youth in the Bay Area here, and his program is called AHAD, A-H-A-D, Always Have a Destiny. And they're offering alcohol and drug counseling, real talk seminars, and pre- and post-incarceration classes. So there's a lot being done, but there's much more that can be done, because we have to, as you know, make this a priority for our community. If you want to expound on that anymore.
Yeah, another thing, too, is in Northern California, in the Bay Area, they're taking apprentices for the plumbers and steam fitters in the Concord, California area. And they'll have test preparations at the community colleges on Mondays and Wednesdays. If you want to reach out to me on Facebook and find out more information about that, we have a lot of when it's in regards to the school to prison pipeline, or when it's in regards to parolees being out, whichever the case may be, we need to get our community involved in either college or some type of a trade in which they can, you know, put back into the community. So if you know anybody that's interested in a trade, let me know. When it comes to college, and being involved in trying to get into college. We have information on FAFSA and different grants and things and loans that, you know, could benefit the community to be able to get them into college. So it's a matter of just reaching out to us, letting us know. A little bit of background, too. Brother Muhammad is executive coordinator for California. We have an executive coordinator for every state. These individuals will head up the programs for that particular state. I myself am chief of personnel for at the national level, as well as under Brother Muhammad for California. So if you reach out to me on Facebook and looking to be a member, looking to find out for more information, please do so. Reach out to me, Zenzele Shakir. If you're in the state of California and you're looking to get involved, please reach out to Brother Abdul Muhammad, either through me, through him, Facebook messages, the Black Progressive Prison Right Movement Chronicles Facebook page, whichever the case may be. Looking at mental health, we have a lot of individuals that are suffering from PTSD. I work with individuals on a daily basis, whether it's PTSD or traumatic brain injury or things like that. And we have a lot of brothers that come in and they're looking for some type of assistance, not so much necessarily with their mental health all the time, but what do I do now? What do I do after? How can I lead a life again? What do I need to do? So these are some of the resources and programs that we're working on to try to get these individuals, whether brothers or sisters, because please do not forget, we have sisters in lockdown as well. It's not just brothers. We do have sisters in lockdown as well, and they do suffer. They have children and family members just as well that they need to take care of. Brother Muhammad spends a lot of time with the brothers. I intend to spend a lot of time with the sisters and see what we can do to help the community in general, to help with mental health, and bring that knowledge and information to them so that they can move forward with their lives, get into the community, and be productive. Outside of the steam fitter and plumbers information in Concord, California, if anyone out there has any other programs, whether it be trade or education, please let us know. It's a collective, as we said earlier. This is not about people trying to tell you what to do and how to do. We all have something to bring, so please come to the table. If you want to chime in, please press 1 on the phone by all means and add in information and share and make this happen. We have to do this together as a group. We cannot do this with a few people trying to give an idea to everybody. We need everybody's input. Brother Muhammad?
Oh, yeah, with that being said, I was talking to a couple of providers Wednesday at the parole office, and the sisters come with a whole different set of dynamics that causes them to slide into the recidivism, and we really, really need some help in that area, because most program coordinators and outreach workers, they all say the same thing, that they really, really have difficulty helping the sisters out, because they, as I said, they come with such a myriad of different problems, from, you know, bad relationships to the drugs, or, you know, children. So it's really hard for them to complete programs. I know even my program at the college, we started with, I believe, 4 females this semester, and we're down to 1 left in the program, and we're only halfway through the semester. So we really, really need some help focusing on those sisters. And we just
here
need the community at large. Yeah, we need the community at large to just put their cape on and come to the rescue, for lack of a better word. I mean, because this
right.
is our community. And it's not this isn't the Brother Muhammad and Zenzele show. This is the Black Progressive Prison Rights Movement show. And we need everyone's input. We need everyone's footwork. We need everyone's elbow grease, because the community didn't become so decimated by itself. so the community isn't going to get healed, like you said, with two or three people. I know we got Sister Nikisha on here, too. Would you like to chime in on anything? Oh, maybe we don't have the sister on there. I thought she was tuned in with us.
Did you say Nikisha?
Yeah, there you go.
I'm sorry. I was talking to my son, and I had a question, actually, for Sister Zimbele about the union test. Because
yes,
my son is actually interested in it, but he works on Mondays and Wednesdays. So are there times that you do the preparation? Because he started studying for it.
Okay. What I'll do is I'll reach out to my contact at the union for plumbers and steam fitters and see what I can work up, and we'll get back in touch and see if there's some other times that we can work out or other days that that we can schedule.
Okay, thank you.
Just to let you guys know, here we have a Folsom Women's Facility that has inmates here up here in Sacramento. Brother Muhammad is in the Bay Area. I'm up here in Sacramento. And I'm working within the Folsom Women's Facility to be able to help the sisters in that facility to be able to function and prepare for reentry into the community. They have a technology program that they're working on to try to give them a trade and get them prepared to prevent from that recidivism rate that we were discussing earlier. So if anyone's interested in helping the sisters out at the Folsom Women's Facility, let me know. We'll work together. They have some technology training centers and some other programs that they're working on, as well as programs that we will work on specifically for our community.
And that's the key right there, our community. We'll use other vehicles as needed, but we'll definitely be working on our community. And I don't want to keep sounding like a broken record.
Brother Abdul, I wanted to chime in about the trauma and people incarcerated who are formerly incarcerated. A lot of them have PTSD, but a lot of people on the outside, too, that's in our community that's witnessed violence and been separated from our loved ones experience that trauma as well. Like, we need a lot of healing in our community.
Yeah, I would agree. And what we'll have to do, you know, we'll have to take a look at both, you know, sides of the spectrum and see how we can help both individuals in the community. What we plan to do with this radio show really is about reaching out to people. The more people we reach out to with certain skill sets that are able to call in, hear an area in which they feel, you know, they have a strength in and can participate in, that's what this radio show is about. We tell you really what about the organization is about, and then build and provide that information so that people can come to the table. So tonight we are talking about mental health. Other nights we'll talk about different issues and, you know, strike up a conversation so that people with those specific skill sets can call in and participate and get more information. So that's what this night is about.
And actually, I wanted to speak on the healing process. And one of my other passions with the group that I'm with at the Chabot College, I just had a conversation with the college president, and I'm putting together a support group for those college students who have family members that are incarcerated, and not just the trauma, they have just simple questions that they're wondering about what their loved ones are going through. And you're totally right, Sister Nikisha, as far as the stats on us accumulating that that trauma over the years. I was looking at some stats the other day, and it was just saying that with 100 murders a year, just a low number in Oakland, by the age that a child is 10 years old, either they've witnessed or heard of 1,000 murders. By the time you're 20, that's 2,000 murders. So that's that auditory trauma we were talking about. So there's a lot of healing that has to be done in the community, and we need the community to help us.
Right.
We need to adapt some existing wellness recovery act. We need a wellness recovery action plan. That's what we need, and it has to be culturally appropriate for the youth with African Americans. We need
that'll be anywhere from therapists to social workers to teachers to mental health workers. It's a combination of a lot of different people to make something like this happen.
Yeah, we need to expand peer counseling between African American youth. We need to expand the American pool of consumers, members. I mean, we've got to develop a better communication with each other and coordination services between all these different entities, because there's so many different groups, and that's what I've been working on a little bit is trying to be a bridge between so many different programs, because so many people are they're having almost little turf wars. You know, this is my section over here. Don't step on my toes. When, you know, there's enough funding for everyone, but at the end of the day, it's about healing. And when I was talking to the brother who putting this new program together that I talked about earlier, I told him, I said, you know, many people are in our business in the nonprofit for the wrong reason. They're doing it, but they really don't have a passion for healing the people. So
in Oakland we have RJOY, Fania's organization that works with youth. And then, but we don't have a lot of restorative justice programs. And I became a restorative justice facilitator, and I went to some things at San Quentin. And one of the things I thought at that time was they need this at more prisons, and not just in prisons, but in school. Like, I mean, these kids are being institutionalized young, not just juvenile facility, but even foster care and group homes, and not learning how to. I just think like not having the ability to deal with your emotions, process your emotions, and really talk about your feelings and move through the trauma. I think the restorative justice is really good for that, and it also helps because you're able to hear how the harm that you did hurt your community members, like, you know, your loved ones and the people that you harmed. And I think that one of the problems is that not just within, but just in society as a whole, people don't look at how their behavior affects other people and how we're connected. But we're African people, so we know that interconnectedness. And we have to get it back and teach it to our youth and model it, like you said. Like, there's enough, like you said, that people getting little spices of funding is enough for everybody. And to work together.
Getting some background there. And I know we got one more person that's lurking in the wings back there. I know we have Sister K still around, And it wouldn't be a show complete without Sister Kate chiming in out of Texas. Sister K?
Sister K, are you still there?
Yes. I'm here.
Oh, yes, she's there.
Making sure everything's running. How's everybody?
All right.
Oh, we're wonderful. We're wonderful. So, Sister K, down there in Texas, can you tell me anything you what you got going on down there? And...
Well, based on whether I'm just going to focus primarily on the women, well, as the here in the city, we do have several prisons in Texas that are women only, so that might be an area to look at, considering that they're often overlooked. So I want to make sure that they are not overlooked. And so that's basically where I'm at right now. Like I said, also the juvenile probation department, I'll probably be working with them as far as mediation is concerned and see what they're talking about, and setting up different community programs in the building that I have. That's where I'm at right now.
Okay. Well, like I said, and I know it's no different in Texas than California, that the component for the women's prison is really in need. And
mm-hmm.
If I could give you any input, it would be to focus on the women, because there's so many of us brothers just nationwide that are pushing for us. We really do need a component focused on the women. I'm like one of the major women's advocates in most of the programs that I'm in. Everywhere I'm going, I'm like, where's the women at? And everybody keeps giving me the same answer, so they all can't be lying to me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if I could give
you
any advice, it would be
to
focus on the women.
Answer. What are you hearing?
Oh, the myriad of issues that the women prisoners come with. And the number one is their relationship. It's substance abuse second, but their relationship is the number one thing that's coming up, whether it's a jealous boyfriend or husband that doesn't want them to go to a college program or is keeping them away from their drug rehab program.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's the number one or number two things that I'm getting back from them.
Okay.
Yeah, the relationship, and then the substance abuse, and then the two put together is like the double whammy.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So.
All right. Sister K, do we have any callers or?
At this time, no. Everybody's mic is open.
Okay. All right. Brother Muhammad, did you have anything you wanted to add?
The only thing I could add is what we've been adding, and that's we need more boots on the ground. This isn't a one-man, one-woman show or one-man and three-women show. We need everybody's involvement. It's like anything else in life, any relationship, there's going to be ups and downs. So if you're just trying to get here for all the ups, then you're going to have a bad road, and it's not going to always be all down. It's
right.
A struggle, but that's what makes the end result worthwhile, is the struggle that we're going through to put these programs together. But I do want to add that we will soon be having a resource newsletter with all the resources that we have in Northern California, and we'll be getting that out to the prisons, because I know one of the things that I knew that I saw when I was inside was I would get those resource pamphlets, and a lot of the programs wouldn't even be in existence there anymore, or some of the people that I knew that were running those programs were even dead. I'm looking at them like, this guy isn't even alive. So we're going to get the most accurate resource guide together we can and get that into the California prison system. I will be getting the other programs I work with, the Open Gate and the Rise program at Chabot. I'll be getting those programmed into the California Fire Camp system, hopefully within the next month or so. I've got a list of all the camp commanders, and I know a couple of them, so I'm going to get those resources to their camp so I can have the guys that are ready to parole from those institutions, have them ready to get into college if that's their goal. If not, I will see them at the parole office and try and direct them to
a training program.
Job. Yeah, one of the job coordinators or whatnot.
All right. Unless anybody's got anything else to add tonight.
Yeah, it looks like we got a short night. We don't have many listeners tonight. What we'll do as a team is we'll get together, like I said, and like we planned, the three of us.
Yes.
And we'll make this work a little bit better next week. We'll get some more listeners in here. We'll get some more programs out to the people, and we're just gonna keep pushing it.
That's
just
it.
One step
That's
at a
it.
Time.
That's it. Nothing
so with
comes
that,
out. You gotta work for it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, like I said, it's going to be an ebb and flow, guys. So right now it seems like it's an ebb, so we got to have to keep pushing for the flow.
Do we share the an announcement about the call?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So what we can do
by all means,
instead
go
of
ahead and post on your page.
What we may do this week instead of waiting till the day of, is start posting say Sunday.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We start posting this
good.
Sunday for next week, and the three of us will meet like we said, and we'll discuss all this.
And maybe we'll
together.
Have a Brother Shakur on the line as well on the
yeah.
next call. I've reached out
yeah.
to him and spoken with him about coming on the next call.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, with that, we'll end
well,
this one. One love.
Thank you, Eva.
All right. Thanks for coming out.
All right.
Thank you.
Peace.
All right. Bye-bye.